Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Tom Boley back on the show. If you haven't already, I'm sure many of you have, but head over to Tom Boley's YouTube channel and get caught up on his summer walleye content. Specifically, what we talk about in this interview a lot is his series called The Hunt for the One. And Tom has been showcasing these adventures to different destinations where he's looking for big walleyes, you know, 30 plus inch walleyes, and just the adventure and everything that goes into, you know, going places and searching for these giant walleyes. And he's been pretty successful. Like I said, many of you have probably heard of the content or seen it already. If you haven't, head over there and check it out. It's very educational, very entertaining as well. But a big portion of this conversation is just, you know, whether it's the behind the scenes or just breaking down some of these bites that he's been on, what some of the trends have been, and just the keys to success when hunting for the one. So anyways, let's get to it here. Great catch up with Tom Boley.
Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations, and to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description.
TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. Check out a complete listing of products at TKICNC.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC.
If you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, I highly recommend you check out the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast that's put on by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, a phenomenal source of all kinds of topics happening at the Game and Fish Department throughout the seasons. For example, recent episode topics include pheasant crowing counts or the importance of outdoor education. Also, the state of the bighorn sheep, and of course, seasonal fishing topics are always happening. Again, if you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, the North Dakota Outdoors Podcast is for you. You'll find it anywhere you'll find the JMO Podcast, and if you want a shortcut, you can find a link in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast.
Hey, get us up to speed, man. Give us the synopsis of the fishing season so far. What have you enjoyed? Where you been? What it's kind of been like? What have been kind of the theme of your fishing, and just hitting on all your videos? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's already, you know, middle of August or early August now. Yeah. We're already like three quarters of the way through it here. But yeah, we've been all over. This summer is always obviously one of my favorite times. Is, you know, days are long, you can fish a long time, bites are generally pretty stable a lot of places, you kind of know what to expect most places you go. Yeah, we've been traveling. We've been in South Dakota, filmed on Oahe in June this year. We filmed on Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake of the Woods. Been getting around, which is always fun. Even this week, I've kind of been home this week, you know, on and off. You travel about 3 weeks of the month, and then, you know, 1 week I generally spend home. So even bebopping around northern Wisconsin the last week's been a ton of fun. And this is always the time of year where I get, I'm not going to say bored, but you kind of get, you know, the bite stays the same for the longest period of time in the summer. So I spend a lot of time out over open water, you know, using the Megalive, scoping down fish. And this is always the time of year where I'm like, I want to go out and do something that's not that. So this week I've been on tiny little rivers fishing and filming. We filmed some trolling stuff this week. today I filmed another video. I woke up real early and went to a little lake I'd never tried before. So, even when you fish every day, I think I still like want to do things that excite me, and the same thing every day does not excite me. So a lot of times this time of year, especially because the season's not changing, the bite's all pretty much always the same. Going to just some of these off the beaten trail type places, a little 400 acre lake or a tiny little river, or going and filming a trolling thing, which I don't think I've done at all this year. Those kind of things always keep it fresh and exciting for me.
But you've been definitely hitting it on a lot of your videos, if not all of them. You got to be feeling good about the bites that you've been on. But I think, you know, talking about what's easy is never fun. I kind of want to talk about if there's been any challenges out there.
Oh yeah. Well, and as you know, of all people too, the bad days don't make great videos. So
right. Right.
There's lots of those days in between the banger video days or whatever, but I never try to hide that away from the camera too much. But yeah, I mean, summertime, generally, finding the fish is not the difficulty. Generally, it's, you know, getting them to bite. It's just there's so much bait in a lot of these systems, whether you're dealing with bug hatches, whether you're dealing with just fish, like, where there's just piles of big bait around, and it's hard to get the fish to go. Every time I've been to Minnesota this year, I will say this, and I've heard this from other people, not to say, like, we're not catching fish, but it's really been a lot more, like, especially in the summer, a lot more, like, doing things that you don't normally have to do to get bit, whether that's like shaking a crawler right in the dirt on the bottom and just shaking it in place. We were on Leech. We had a walleye now, a trip giveaway winner. I think it was like a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago now, but we were out there, and you know, Leech is normally pretty standard issue fishing generally. And we got out there and fish everywhere, and you pitch at them and they just were not eating the normal stuff. And it was like, we were fishing a little cloudier water where like the fish just couldn't see that good. Either that or they were just really, really inactive. And we were putting jigs just right on their heads and just not even reeling, just shaking it right in the dirt to get them to pick it up, which if you fish leech before, you know, that's not normally how it goes out there. But ended up like that was that and hyper rattles and shiver minnows. It was the only way we were consistently getting 15, 20 fish a day, which might sound, you know, like a decent day, but you know, normally with how many fish we were around, you'd be dealing with a lot more fish than that. So that was one of those trips where like clearly the normal stuff, the mid-range lures, mid-speed, put a search bait on them, put a slip bobber on them, they come up and smoke it right away. We're not working. And it was doing, you know, goofy off-the-wall stuff to make the fish go. But, you know, that was just one situation. I've heard that a lot from people in Minnesota this year. I don't know. Yeah, the only place I was in Minnesota that was off the charts was Lake of the Woods. I don't know if it's like a clear water thing that, you know, fishing some of those, the Mille Lacs, the Leeches, the Winnebagoches are all a little different this year. I have no idea, but...
Give us a little bit of backstory too on kind of like that whole, like the content and sort of the manifestation there, because, you know, I don't want to make too many assumptions or whatever. And I know that, you know, maybe not everybody's seen every video of yours like I have pretty much. So yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit though, because it's been like, you've done some pretty exceptional things this year that I want to touch on.
Oh, appreciate it. Like it kind of comes back to what I was saying, like, even though I fish every day, I don't get bored of my job, but it's like, I have a bad tendency of like feeling like I kind of get decent at something and then being like, all right, scrap this, on to the next thing. And it kind of feel like that's the other battle, right? Is the content side of it. Like you want to make content that not only people like, but like also excites you. It makes the 40 hours you spend on a computer editing it, you know, much more. Because if you want to get tired of watching your content, just edit it, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how the hunt for the one kind of came about. It was I was like, I got to do something that excites me more than what I'm currently doing. So we kind of had I had the idea last year and filmed a couple of them, but I didn't really fully realize like how much I needed to film and to kind of capture the story, because it's a lot more than just, you know, going out and catching a fish. You're trying to show the ups and downs of essentially trying to catch a 30 plus inch fish on these videos, you know, in a set day time span. So, and I really had no idea how these would turn out when I started, but I knew I had to basically film everything, like just roll three cameras live the entire day, film every talking point, every B-roll. So these videos, when I started editing them, you know, they'd end up being like multiple terabytes of raw content at a time that you're taking a crack at. And then you're pulling out all these little talking points to try to, those were the first videos I filmed where I'm like, wow, the fishing might be the easiest part of this video. You know, it's trying to document the ups and the downs of a giant that came off at the boat, of fishing 3 days and not seeing a big fish, and then figuring something little out. So you're trying to tell a story where you don't know where it ends essentially the whole time, which makes it really exciting for me. I really enjoy doing those videos. I don't think I can do those for every video because it's such a monster once I get them on the computer, but those are by far my favorite video to film. And luckily, the response to them has been really good. So it's something that I'm really excited about continuing. And it's something that's not really out there. You know, there's tons of videos. I've filmed tons of the videos. You guys film tons of the videos, you know, how to fish slip bobbers for walleyes, 3 tips. People love those videos, right? It's great for people to watch to get into, but I just kind of saw like a void, like no one's just going out and trying to catch one fish, you know?
Yeah.
part of it probably comes from how much I like deer hunting and stuff. You know, you're going out. I don't watch any fishing on YouTube, but I watch a lot of hunting, and it's kind of almost the same principle. When I started thinking about it, I was like, this is just, you're going after one thing, and that thing happens right at the end. You know, it's the pinnacle build of the whole thing. So it's kind of similar, I guess, in that aspect.
One thing that's kind of interesting, and I'm sort of curious if there's any sort of behind the scenes or just any sort of chuckles that you've had, when the cameras are off, about like when you go to Oahu and you catch a giant the first like couple of hours, like the first couple of fish, first couple of casts that you're there. And then same thing on Lake of the Woods. It's just like, just these things that are just like all the planets are aligning like right straight into your boat, and it's like these unbelievable circumstances, like early in the video too, because that's another element to these like big fish journeys. And you're telling the story and you don't know where it's going to end, but what happens when it happens right away? Like, I'm just sort of curious what some of your, you know, thinking back has been on a couple of those episodes, because they're just unbelievable. And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, they're living under a rock, but you just got to go over to YouTube and watch those videos.
Yeah, it's, and you can't, the story is whatever unfolds, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
You can only make it whatever it is. And a lot of these, like when I go in, like I've been to Oahu before, surprisingly, I don't really have like a big circle of people who fish that I like communicate with a lot. So Although I might know something like, hey, I know there's this tree pattern on Oahu. Like 3 years ago when I was there several times, I had no idea. So I was fishing right out of Mobridge and just catching tons of 15, 20 inches on the points. And then like I heard of this tree thing or saw it somewhere, you know, there's trees all the way up and down Oahu, obviously. So it's an enormous body of water, but had no idea where the trees are. Had no idea. Just for years, like 2 years, that stuck in my mind. I was like, I have to go there and find these trees and then catch big fish out of them. This sounds so much fun. So then you go there and like you drive around for a couple hours, you find a tree that you think like, or a set of trees, you're like, oh, this could be something. I don't know. And you fish and your first fish is a, you know, a 31 and a half incher. And you're like, you know, now what? But for me, like that easily felt like a fluke, right? Like I knew I was onto something. And then the whole second day of that video was just a grind. I mean, I think I caught 4 fish that day, and one was 30 that second day too. But it was so like, I missed fish, I lost fish. That was a frustrating day, although it felt like I was doing the right thing. And then the third day was actually the most rewarding day, because I only had a few hours in the morning before a giant storm was supposed to come in, and I was tent camping. So I had to get out of there. But I went out that morning, I think I caught like 5 fish over 27 in like an hour. And I was like, okay, now I understand this now. Now this was the day I was like, I put everything together to get this. The 31 and a half inch felt a little fluky in the first hour. So yeah. That, although it was cool to see it felt like, you know, the last day was by far the most rewarding. And very interesting how these come together, because you kind of get in your own head, because when you set the bar at 30 inches. I think the next one, well, we filmed one on Bait and Knock, and that one, the first day was real tough. And then the second day I must've caught 40 fish over 27, and you're catching, like you're having this absolutely insane, unbelievable day. And it's like literally frustrating, because you know, it doesn't matter on the hunt for the one, how many 28 and a halfs you catch. Right.
Yeah.
So you're going after one fish, and the same situation at Lake of the Woods where you're just 28 inch or 29 inch or 28 and a half inch or 20. I mean, you can just, you know, there's so many fish that you deal with to get that one 30 and a half incher, you know? So though it's like, you have to almost pinch yourself and do it, 'cause I get way too worked up. Like, man, you got to settle down. you're catching 28 inches every 12 minutes right now. You know, enjoy this. If you keep doing this, a 30 incher will come. So it's easy to get, I think, really worked up and in the moment on those videos, like getting frustrated catching cookie cutter 28s, which sounds terrible. Like I'm a sort of extremely spoiled fisherman, which I am, but like I wasn't having fun. But when you set out to do that one thing, it truly is like none of the other fish really matter, right?
Especially if you're recreational fishing. If you were to get started on something like that, where you were to catch a couple or two or three for a lot of people, or for like me, you know, if I were to watch that and say, like, say I caught four or five, like 27 plus inch fish, but none of them were 30, like my foot would come off the gas for sure, because I literally have already accomplished probably the greatest day in like trophy walleye fishing I've ever had. And realistically, like I wouldn't push myself or be motivated to push my gear or myself to even like potentially hinder that, if that makes any sense. But like, so like, how is it in the front of your mind? This is my question. Like, is it part of the thought process to have the benchmark set at 30 inches just so that
it's almost unobtainable?
Yeah. Your foot never comes off the gas, because, you know, like if you just say, well, I'm just set out to find the best quality fish I can today and just see how good I do, you could easily feel so good about your day and so good about what your video is going to look like with five or six or eight 28 inchers that, you know what I mean? Like, does that make any sense? Like, do you even think about 100%. That?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the other, I think, key that, you know, super lucky I get to fish for a living, right? So I'm super lucky I get to see a lot of really nice fish, you know, a lot of times when I go fishing. But when it is like almost... Now, going to any of those three locations and catching a 30 is not unobtainable, obviously. All those lakes are produce 30-inch fish. But to get one in a set amount of days, and then it when you do finally like deal with a bunch of other big fish, and then you get that one fish, it's like the emotion just comes out then. Because you know it's a goal that's like, and that's what makes the videos good. You know, obviously catching big fish on cameras is always a huge plus and always makes the content way better. But I think, you know, to really get like the sense of achievement, to let the emotion come out on videos. And I think about this all the time too. Like if I just go out fishing and there's no cameras on, I'd catch 5, 6, 28s. And let's say I'm on Lake of the Woods or Bay and Ock or whatever. And I'd take my foot off the gas, eat lunch, maybe film an app video, something else. Think about how fun the day is or whatever. But when I'm filming the hunt for the ones, it's totally like the cameras make me, or the goal to capture that video and to catch that fish on camera makes it honestly 10 times more rewarding if I do finally catch it. So yeah, it's pretty much just foot on the gas and just try to not stop. And we did film one in Wisconsin 2 weeks ago now on three different lakes, and we did not catch a 30 inch in that one. I knew that was going to be by far the hardest one, but you know, we just fished three lakes in 4 days and dealt with a lot of really nice fish for northern Wisconsin, but did not see a 30. So it's not like it happens every single time, but when you do finally get it, you know, it's obviously very rewarding, especially when you feel like the energy, the momentum of the video building.
You know, you were mentioning earlier, you know, talking about them, you know, the way the bite has been in different places. How would you say, like, what is sort of your strategy or what, I guess maybe what has felt like maybe a little bit of the theme or some of the, you know, the details that have mattered to finding and catching and getting them in the net, some of these big fish that you've been catching this year? Is there anything?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Someone, a guy who actually bought one of my previous boats, and he was talking about, he's like, man, a lot of walleye has probably been in this boat. I was like, I used to catch a lot more fish than I catch now. I just fish a lot differently, especially for these videos, you know, because you're just attempting to catch really big fish and pretty much that's it. Generally in the summer, I mean, if there's like one pattern that works really good for big fish, it's get on the biggest part of the lake and the biggest piece of structure and then go off the edge of it about 100 yards. And I always call it the big fish zone, but it's essentially where hard bottom meets soft bottom and big fish suspend off the edge of structure. Now, you control these fish. If they're on the bottom, you can jig them. You can do whatever you want. If you're a forward-facing guy, you know, you're obviously hunting those big giant marks that are halfway down the water column, up high, maybe on the bottom in some cases, and, you know, throwing search baits and night crawlers at them, throwing shiver minnows at them, throwing jigs and crawlers or slip bobbers at those, you know, exclusive big marks in that big fish zone. And that was kind of a pattern. We started fishing a lot, even on, you know, a lot of people might relate this to like, oh, go to Lake Erie, go to Lake of the Woods, go to Lake Oahe and do these big fish patterns. It's the same exact pattern that we filmed the video today on a new lake. That was 400 acres and got on the biggest piece of structure, went off the edge of it to 32 feet. There was like a mud flat out there. That was just a flat basin of mud. All the fish I caught were halfway down over that mud off the edge of structure. So that's a pattern that works on big lakes, small lakes, great lakes, you name it.
TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. Check out a complete listing of products at tkicnc.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. If you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, I highly recommend you check out the North Dakota Outdoors podcast that's put on by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, a phenomenal source of all kinds of topics happening at the Game and Fish Department throughout the seasons. For example, recent episode topics include pheasant crowing counts or the importance of outdoor education, also the state of the bighorn sheep, and of course, seasonal fishing topics are always happening. Again, if you like to fish and or hunt in the state of North Dakota, the North Dakota Outdoors podcast is for you. You'll find it anywhere you'll find the JMO podcast, and if you want a shortcut, you can find a link in the description. Zooloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zooloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zooloft Construction at their website, zooloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. You just did a video on this of like finding out like small lakes that have really big fish potential. I just kind of want to maybe touch on that video and just sort of like your description of that and the kind of satisfaction you get out of it. Cause I, you know, you talk about the emotions and stuff. It's like, man, when you catch like a 26 or 27 incher on some of those bodies of water, I relate to that where I would be jumping like out of my skin on my home lake back where I grew up. You know, catching a fish like that versus, you know, like a 30 and a half on Lake of the Woods, like, you know, talking about that small lake topic, big fish.
Yeah. So I get just as excited about catching a 31 and a half incher as I do about finding a DNR report from 5 years ago on a 300 acre lake, going to it and catching five fish over 18 in a day. That to me is equal amounts of excitement. And I think you kind of, I'm always actually surprised, and I feel like the last couple of years, it wasn't like I was like lost hope, but it's kind of like just with internet and, you know, fishing chatter and stuff like forward facing and, you know, you kind of almost lose hope that it's like, there's no way there's a little lake out there that nobody's walleye fishing that's full of walleyes, right? You almost kind of like lose faith because you go to so many of them over the years and you're like, yeah, this is, you know, this is... We're not coming back to this one. And there's plenty of those along the way. So when you actually like go to one of these little ones, and I look at a lot of DNR survey stuff and just look for bell curves generally that are over 20 inches, which is a big time rarity in northern Wisconsin and a lot of other little pothole lake country stuff. You know, a lot of fish 14 to 17, a lot of fish bigger. So when you find one of these lakes that has a bell curve, that's 20 inches plus, maybe with a few fish in that 26, 27 inch range. And then you go there and actually catch them. It's almost like, I cannot believe this is happening right now.
Yeah.
It's almost like, dumbfounding to me. And the one pattern I see, and this isn't fishing, is obviously not a black and white thing where, hey, this is true, that is not true, but, deep, small, loaded with bait fish. It's pretty much like, if I'm going to try to find a little lake that's got potential for big fish, that is the style of lake in which I am 9 times out of 10 going to choose to fish. Either that or you have to have pretty much a river coming into it, some kind of influx of water. Otherwise, the likelihood of it producing big fish that can actually get big is pretty low most of the time. So that's one thing I do in the summer. You know, the suspending thing is such a strong suit. I feel like I've, you know, been doing that for so long, it feels like it's always right in my wheelhouse. But some of these lakes, you might get to them and the big fish are on a weed edge in 8 feet of water. Some of them you might get to it, and we filmed one last week where they were on a rock hump in 15 feet. So it's kind of, each little lake always kind of has its own personality, I'll say. The fish might act totally different. They might do something totally different. There's some that we fished this year where super clear, and we'd be fishing in like, for fishing 25 feet of water, that'd be 5 feet off the bottom. And you'd cast out, our baits would hit the surface and the fish would start shooting up at you like a trout, and they'd bite it like 3-4 feet under the surface. You know, and then there's other lakes, they're a mile down the road, you get on a little 300 acre lake and all those walleyes are tucked in a weed edge and you're shaking a drop shot on the bottom in front of them. So it's kind of the cool part about these little lakes. Definitely if you're someone who keeps doing these little lake hunts, I mean, you might fish a bunch that are not very good to find one that is good. That's just kind of part of the game, I guess, when it comes to small lake fishing. But yeah, I enjoy fishing those little lakes. And if you find one and you can catch some 25, 26s out of it, just know that that's far more rare than a 31 out of a Wadi.
You know, I haven't watched it yet because it's like so recent, but you put out like a small river deal, a small river project. And I think you mentioned it earlier. I want to talk a little bit about that too. Like summer river fishing. I feel like river fishing, me personally, like, you know, as far as requests or just sort of, you know, chasing the bite or the topics that are relevant at the time, it's like river fishing has such a specific window in the spring. Mm-hmm. Of when walleye anglers are paying attention, or, you know, the bulk of the walleye fishing community is paying attention to like river fishing content. But then, you know, you look at all the small rivers that are in Wisconsin. There's small rivers actually everywhere. And then, you know, you'll go slide in on these dirty little rivers that are like 15 yards wide and you're roping like big old fish. Then
yeah.
Like you look like you're push pulling down the Amazon or whatever. It's like, dude, it looks like an absolute adventure. It looks like an absolute blast. It's 110% like not, you know, what everybody else is thinking of. So you're not going to run into a boat landing that's like too full, you know, to put your boat in or to park at. It's like, there's a lot to, appreciate about that for anybody. And too, like if you're a shore angler, dude, that small river thing, kudos to you. But tell me a little bit about that and what your history is on small rivers.
Yeah, so actually not a lot of history because I've never had a boat that could get in there. A couple of years ago, or I guess last year was the first year I had one of these smaller river rigs, and this year as well, obviously. It was actually a demo boat that they were like, hey, can you run this boat for a year? And I was like, of course, though, you know, we're on it. So anyways, the way demo boats work, you got to basically bring them back in at the end of the year, right? I was driving away from there and missed it so much that I bought another one. I just had to have one. I went and bought one. But honestly, I love fishing. And it's nice to throw two tackle trays in a boat and two spinning rods and say, let's go find a dirt road boat ramp and back in and see what's going on in here, you know? But especially in my area, but probably a lot of areas in Dakotas too, just little slough areas where you can ice fish it, but you can't get a big boat in it. It just opens the door up huge. And that stuff is a ton of fun. As far as like these small river things go, most of these, I get like a whiff of it from like someone who bass fishes or someone who fishes for brook trout. And they're like, man, I walked by that hole and there was two walleyes in there. I'm like, in that, you know, that's a little beaver brook, right? So since, you know, that I just know enough people kind of around a few different areas that, you know, do some fishing. And most times it's not walleye fishermen, but you hear little bites like this and then you go and kind of explore them, right? Like right around my house, I can go 5 minutes and I always take my wife down there and we catch walleyes from shore in a trout stream. And you're like, well, you know, I never would have thought that was possible unless I saw it, right? Or like the little river we just filmed on, you know, little, it was all 2 feet deep and holes were 4 feet deep and there's walleyes sitting in them. Generally, if you want to find little creeks or rivers that have walleyes, they're coming out of a lake, they're coming out of a Great Lake, they're coming out of some other river system where fish can push up in there. That makes it 10 times more likely than just a little isolated brook trout stream. But it is crazy to me. That's one of the coolest parts, one of my favorite parts about what I get to do just traveling around walleye fishing is you get to see just from the Great Lakes to the giant western reservoirs to little sloughs to these little tiny dirty rivers that have walleyes in them. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And one thing that I always say, which I'm super lucky that I chose walleyes, I guess, was going to be my thing, is that there's very few fish that live in that many different places, but also you have so many different ways to fish for them. You know, I always say, like, imagine walleyes are on a 15-foot weed edge. Like, how many different ways could you fish them? Well, there's like 100 different ways, right? So from a content perspective, both all the locations fish live and all the different ways you can fish them, it's kind of like an endless amount of videos you could potentially film.
You know, one thing that you just do well is you appreciate the stuff. You appreciate that stuff, and it kind of is contagious. But this is one of those things that I think people ought to be paying attention to, especially like, you know, like you can bring your kids or whatever. Like, or if the weather, if it's a blow day on a big body of water, you know, like looking for these smaller, unassuming opportunities where, like, I could easily see how somebody might be in northern Wisconsin on a vacation for 4 days, and just one of the days, the weather's bad and it's pounding in on the boat landing on, you know, whatever lake you're trying to be on, and it's like, dude, this, how cool it would be if you had the setup that could do it. I guess that's maybe not for everybody. Everybody's got big sparkly boats nowadays, but
yeah, there's a lot of just, you know, foot access areas, and 9 times out of 10 when I'm going to those areas, or like the little one we just filmed, a little river, it's one spinning rod, a split shot, a hook, and a night crawler. So I have one tray that just sits in the console of my truck that has like a ton of little octopus hooks in it and split shots, and then a 10-pound fluoro leads in case we just throw a rod at the truck and want to go catch a walleye, you know, after a day of editing or something down on the creek or whatever. So
yeah.
The nice part is the fishing is generally really simple. I mean, there's nothing to really think about. Generally, a deeper hole, walk up to it, pitch something in there. If something bites, it bites. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
You know, one thing that's really popular out here, this might be a non-conversation, but one thing that's really popular out here, I think it probably orbits the tournament realm a lot. But the creek chubs are really popular, like kind of everywhere, but in the Dakotas here, they're a little bit of a scarcity. Like, they're kind of hard to get. You got to keep them alive, you know, but especially during the tournament season, you know, like locally or regionally here, the Gov Cup or like any of these tournaments, like they get, it's kind of a deal, you know, and oh, yeah. People catch a lot of nice fish on creek chubs, but I don't see you getting too wound up over the creek chub deal or, you know, the big minnow deal very much. Is that like a thing for you? Like, do you just like haven't gotten to that point yet where you feel like you need to hook on a big minnow to try to catch a fish, or, you know, I don't know. Cause like you got all those streams around you.
No, the reason I never did it is cause you can't get them anywhere around me, to my knowledge. So growing up, like
you got to catch them on your own, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. And then there's really stringent rules on like where you can actually use them. You know, it has to be like a verified thing, and it has to, you know, or I think, don't take this, but you might be able to catch them out of a certain lake then use them on that lake. I'm not 100% sure on that one, so don't take that one as black and white law. But
right,
I've done it in Minnesota a lot. Like, you know, that's kind of where like bait rigging was all the rage there before, probably 10 years ago and stuff like that. That is not my strong suit at all. Like getting a big minnow. First of all, I hate having minnows in my boat. So to carry around a bunch of a live well full of $120, you know, 36 minnows is always a tough sell for me. Obviously super effective. It's like willow cat, you know, that's all the rage on the Mississippi. And I've gone down there to film there several times, had a lead on willow cats, get there, there's no willow cats left, or you get the willow cats. And, you know, I mean, willow cat and creek chub, and I mean, all those things obviously are killer ways, especially to catch big fish. But that is one area where I've not filmed that much.
I grew up in Minnesota, so I do kind of have that sort of, like I have that tick in my brain associated to walleyes. Is like, if you aren't fishing a technique where the bail is open and your finger is holding the line and you're waiting for a bite and then you release it, like, you know, like there is something to that where everything else is so exotic. Everything else that we talk about is like so exotic to me, because I did grow up thinking that was like the only way to catch a walleye, you know, a leech or, you know, Lindy rig, or, you know, or this, you know, talking about the big minnow deal.
Well, how many years ago was it in Minnesota where very few walleye boats had trolling motors on the bow? You know, it wasn't that long ago where you saw the majority of walleye boats rolling out on Mille Lacs or leech with just a stern drive trolling motor, or they, yeah, the vantages, or they just drift, you know?
Yeah, the back
with
trolling.
With a big minnow or a leech on.
Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, to be fair, the best, I know a handful of guys, like personally, that are next level, you know, like red tail riggers, you know, big minnow riggers, they're guys, you know, from that era. Great tournament anglers, great guides, you know, like that's still how they fish them. Like it's, you know, those guys have those vantages, on the back, or, you know, they're just kind of the throw a drift sock out, get the big motor going backwards. Everybody's got splash guards on their tillers. Yeah. And, dude, it's a fun way to reel in a big one, but anyways, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to get us going down a different track there, but that is kind of all the rage around here.
I think one big thing I might have changed in Minnesota is honestly zebra mussels. Just not being able to get close to fish, like, you know, you used to be able to back up over the top of them and feed them a big minnow on them.
100%.
Yeah, you know, now it's hard to do, obviously.
Yep, 100%. Those guys have definitely, to stay on that pattern, they've had to do some pretty sneaky things to get the bait away from the boat, slow way down. Those guys are getting really good at targeting the weed fish, just because the weed, you know, fish that are deep in the weeds are a little bit more durable to that whole drive over thing, and or just finding areas of the lake that don't get that boat pressure. I mean, there's definitely something to those guys that are kind of fishy like that.
Yeah, it's a totally different world, but yeah, I know a few of those guys that are just dialed on that. Yeah.
Anything else, man? You got anything coming up or planned for this fall? I'm sure I won't talk to you for a little while. You know, I always try to give you a break and let you do some fishing before I hit you up. But as far as the rest of the summer and, you know, maybe early fall, you got anything particularly on the books or on your mind or a bucket list or, you know, something that you're thinking about?
Yeah. Looking forward to just continuing the hunt for the ones, the main thing. We're obviously, I've always gone to Fort Peck a time a year. And, I'd like to see it in the fall when you get that big fish migration. So that's going to be doing that at some point. One other Great Lake location, which we're for sure going to film. And then kind of bouncing around and doing that sort of stuff, targeting a few more of those, you know, different location hunt for the one type videos is kind of what I'm most excited about. And kind of continuing one in the state of Wisconsin until I find the rarest 30-incher in Wisconsin that swims in these northern lakes. But that'll be a work in progress kind of all year and probably into next year. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to continuing all that kind of stuff. And I always look forward to when fall starts getting here, when you start seeing water temps change, because it always kind of changes the bite up again and gives you kind of something else to, you know, a different swing on content. So it's crazy that it's already August now. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm always looking forward to fall.
Thinking about, like, if you were going to just on paper, you know, or maybe like school somebody on content and, you know, chasing the one or chasing a 30-inch walleye, like, think about like 5 or 10 years ago, or even just a couple of years ago, you wouldn't want to start that series like in July. Like, July used to be the month where we thought all the big fish just crawled out of the lake. You know, it's like until forward sonar kind of came along. Now all of a sudden it's like July and August is the deal, but that's interesting. But, you know, fall, like, again, if you were to go back a decade, like the fall would have been like, okay, that's when we do want to target a slugger. So I look forward to that for you, man. Hopefully that you hit some good weather and get some good bites, because those fish in the fall, they definitely got their own flavor and they're going to be bulked up a little bit. So when you do catch a 30 pluser, it's gonna have uh,
going to have the shoulders you're definitely looking for. So that's cool, man.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the same place in the same year to film a hunt for the one, but for some reason, this Oahu, like December Thanksgiving type, like,
yep,
it's kind of calling my name a little bit.
Yeah, if we don't freeze up, if they don't freeze up and that Christmas deal, oh, man.
Yeah, I believe I actually listened to a podcast that you did on here with some gentleman, I think, who guided over there. And I listened to that, I think, on the way out there. Because I was like, I know nothing about Oahu. And after listening to that, I was like, well, I guess I got to come back in December and do this again and try to see a 15 pounder or something, you know.
Yeah,
just the thought of fishing somewhere where, yeah, I think it might have been him, but just the thought you're fishing somewhere that could produce a fish of that caliber is just special, obviously.
There's actually a slew of guys. Like, I can never get them all, but the connections that we have down on Oahu are just phenomenal. Those guys are just unbelievable human beings. Like Chad is one of them. He guides out of Akaska. That's a good area. Definitely one of those like popular areas. And then, Brent Kemnitz out of, those guys, they guide, you know, you kind of have that in common with them. You got that guide career and you guys all kind of have that same look in your eye. You definitely, it would definitely be, pretty hilarious to walk into a bait shop and see a couple of guys like you and Chad sitting there having a conversation about 15 pound walleyes casually on Oahu, because that would be how it would happen and where it would happen for sure.
Yeah, I've never seen one in person over, I think, 12, a little over 12 pounds or mid 12 pounds. So to see one in that 15, I always hear the stories from the spring nets on Peck. And it's like, you know, 20 pounder, 18 pounder. I just can't. You know, before I die, it would be cool to just, even if some other boat caught it and it died in a live well or whatever, just to see it.
just to see it,
you know.
I mean, if anybody's listened this long, they've probably listened to a few of these. They know where to find you. They know how to find your content. I'll definitely put it in the intro so people hear it right away. So we can kind of end it however we want. If there's anything else you want to throw out there, do it.
Well, appreciate it, man. Always fun being on. And hope everyone listens, having a good summer on the water, looking forward to some fall bites, and hope you guys are catching fish.
And new content up pretty regularly on the app?
Yeah, it's on the app. We pretty much, I mean, sometimes it's three a week, sometimes it's one a week, kind of whenever we see something change or we see something really fitting. You can always kind of find. We also came out with a deep dive feature on there. So if you're watching a video that I post, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see a deep dive on the app. Which will basically break down the best spot I had that day in high detail. Another thing on the Walleye Now app, which is available on Google Play and the App Store, there's a search tool now, which is super handy. So if you're looking at, like, you want to see trolling tips, just type in trolling, and every trolling video on the app is going to pop up right there. So you don't have to sort through, you know, 300 videos seasonally to find tips on trolling. So always adding new features, always adding new content, and just kind of building the library.
There it is. All right, man. That's a wrap.